Good morning again. How many of you are feeling like a badass this morning? Yeah? Well, if you don't, you will be by the end of this hour. I had an opportunity to spend some time with our guest speaker this morning, Jen Sincero, and I can tell you you're in for a treat. So welcome. My name is Dr. Jody Ashbrook. I am the founder of Zen Leader and the yoga movement in Elevate Higher Ed. Happy to be here this morning. I'll be teaching some yoga moves, teaching you how to calm the corporate chaos this afternoon at the Health and Wellness Pavilion. So if you have some time, stop by. We are so happy, myself included, to be here this morning. The tools and the sessions that have been prepared for today are designed to, as you, I'm sure you've already experienced, provide you with resources and information to inspire, empower, and help you really make your mark in your companies as well as in the world. So we're hoping that you are taking away and soaking everything in, being a sponge today. I know over the next hour, we are just, again, as I said, in for a dynamic session with Jen. So if you don't know what you're in for, we have not one, but two New York Times best-selling books. You Are a Badass. And number two, most recently in 2017, You Are a Badass at Making Money, right? Who doesn't love that? You've probably seen her in O Magazine, Cosmopolitan, Success Magazine. She's a coach. She's an author. She's traveled the world sharing her message, and today she's here with us. So words of wisdom you're going to hear from her, and she's also going to take us in a pretty unique direction. So get ready. Without further ado, welcome, Jen.
Hello, darlings. I opted for the handheld because I have a bit of a cold. I have a cough due to cold. I figured if I had the thing on my face every time I sneezed, it would blow an eardrum. So don't have much room to move, but I am so excited to be here, and I'm so excited that all you guys took the time and energy and showed up to something like this. These kinds of events back in the day really helped me get out of, what is the name of my thing, get out of my shit and become a badass. But it was events like this and surrounding myself with like-minded people who weren't sitting around whining and complaining and who were taking action and investing money in themselves to do stuff. So bravo. So I came up today from New York, or yesterday, I took the train up from New York and went to visit my parents. And my mom, you know, was like, well, what are you doing in Boston, honey? And I was like, I'm giving a talk. And I was hoping it would just end there. But it didn't. And she's like, well, what's a talk on? And I was like, well, it's sort of on mindset and the power of positivity. And, you know, my family's really supportive of me. They're really proud of all the success I've had. But they're also New Yorkers, and they're kind of bada bing, bada boom. And they also like this power positivity stuff with Jen. You know, maybe she spent too much time in Santa Fe. We're not quite sure. And so my mother always looks at me when we talk about stuff like this, and she's like, you know, you, out of all my children. And it's because in high school and college, I dyed my hair black, I was in a punk band, I was in a bad mood, I was angry. And now I'm standing on stages talking about the power of positivity. So miracles can happen. And also, you know, I got to have this conversation with her like 40 times yesterday because she's got a bit of memory loss. So I was like, oh my God, I have to say it again. But anyway, I bring this up because you know, the fact that you're here and that you're even showing up to this particular talk means that you're okay with the power of positivity and you're okay with this kind of stuff. But I do know that sometimes we need to get over a lot of our own doubts and thoughts about, you know, really the power of positive thought, like that's really going to make a difference. Don't I have to like work my ass off and do stuff I hate all the time to make radical change in my life? Because that really is what we're taught. So harnessing the power of this thought thing is huge, and you've got to overcome your own judgments on it. And as illustrated by my mother, we have to overcome the judgments of our fear-based society about it. You know, choosing to think positively and choosing to go after what your heart desires is a pretty radical thing. You know, we value commiserating with each other. If you don't want to sit around and gossip with other people, you're kind of no fun. You know, like positive people aren't really cherished in a lot of ways, just sort of in our knee-jerk reaction. So I want to commend you for being here, and also to really realize this and understand that you're going against a muscle that has been ingrained in you for a very long time, that this isn't the norm, and that in order to shift the norm, it really takes conscious choice. So what I'm going to do today, I noticed my talk didn't have a little letter after it, like a W for workshop or OPP. I'm down with OPP. I don't know what the other ones were. But so I am going to stick a little letter. I actually would like to turn this into a little bit of a workshop if you guys are game. Is that okay? Okay. Because here's the thing. I feel like a lot of what I'm going to talk about you kind of know already. But I would love it if we could get some real lasting results, okay? The danger with the I know thing, you know, I know thinking positive thoughts is important. I know I've got to face my fears. I know I got to watch my language. I know awareness is the key to freedom. That's great. But are you really doing it for realsies? You know, you got to really show up and you've got to be diligent. You've got to do what I call going to the spiritual gym, where you read a self-help book every morning, every single goddamn morning. You're reading something that makes you feel like you go out and flip over a car. You're listening to music that inspires you. You know, when I went on my quest of self-helpery and changing my life, I put a moratorium on Neil Young. Because I loves me some Neil Young, but he is depressing. So it was all about like Donna Summer and AC/DC. Because that's what would get me riled up. So start paying attention to the things that put you in that energetic zone. Who you hanging out with. Huge, 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 huge. One of the most important things is to start surrounding yourself with people who support you instead of smear their doubt, fear, and worry all over you, right? And this can be a real tough one, because when you decide to change who you're being in the world, it freaks out the people closest to you. And I have to say the most common question I get when I'm doing talks and, you know, at the Q&A at the end of this, so I'm just going to ask it because at the Q&A, I always get it. What do you do when the people surrounding you don't support your hopes and dreams? When the people closest to you don't support it? And the reason this is the most common question is because when you go out there and you change who you're being, you're basically killing off the old you. You know, you're still you, but you're killing off the person that they know and love and feel comfortable around, and you're creating the new version of yourself. And this not only bums them out because they're losing their best commiseration buddy, right? But you're also holding a mirror up to them being like, hey, look, if I can go out and do the quote-unquote impossible, so can you. And that makes people really grouchy when they don't feel like doing that. You know, have you ever tried to make somebody who you see so much potential in, have you ever tried to make that person go out and do something? If they're not ready, it doesn't really work so good. So when you go out and change yourself, the people closest to you, because they have the most to lose, right? The stranger down the street doesn't care that you're going to quit your job and open up a bakery, right? But your mom might, and your spouse might, and your sister might, and your best friend might, because that means that, like, what? You're not staying in that job you hate like I am? You're going to have the audacity to go out and follow your dreams. That maybe means I could, and I'm really scared, and now I'm in a bad mood. So that's why that happens. And that's why I'm really going to recommend that you network your ass off here today. And you get people's cards and you stay connected to people and you find people who can really, truly support you. Because this is one of the most challenging things, is finding those people. Because back in the day when I, you know, my big story, you know, my new book just came out, You're a Badass at Making Money. And I wrote the money book after sort of the general get your act together book. I wrote the money book next because that is why I wrote the general get your act together book and why I started studying self-help in the first place is because I was a train wreck when it came to finances. I was living in a converted garage at the age of 40. And I woke up one day and was like, really, Jen Sincero? This is the best you can do? And then when I made that decision, it all started with a decision, right? To not screw around about money anymore and to figure it out and to get over my crap. That's when I started reading the self-help books. And that's when, if it didn't make me money, I wasn't doing it. And even having the audacity to be like, I'm going to make a lot of money. If you walk around saying that, people are going to give you the hairy eyeball, right? That's not a couth thing to say. I want to go make money. So whether your thing is money or romance or getting into shape, whatever it is, you've got to own it and you've got to make that decision. It all starts with the decision. And what is a decision? It's something that happens in your mind. Okay, so this is why mastering the mindset is so crucial, because mindset leads to action. Yes, of course, we have to take action, but the action you take when you're like, oh, it's never going to work, this is really hard, I hate it, is very different than the action you take when you've been listening to AC/DC all morning and you feel like you could go flip over a car, right? Very different. So it really starts with the mindset. So what I'm going to do today is just sort of give you a couple examples of how powerful the mind is in making manifest physical things. It starts as a thought, which is oogly boogly, right? And then it becomes physical. So I'm just going to give you a couple examples of that. And then I want to run through about five exercises that we're going to do together to help you shift your mindset into a more positive one and change something in your life that you'd really love to change. I really want you guys to walk away today with some hardcore tools that you can use to see some results. All right? So, back in the 80s, I lived in the East Village of New York, and I had this crappy little studio that, you know, you walked in the front door, and you were immediately into this horizontal hallway that was my kitchen. And then to the left was the bathroom, and then to the right was the rest of the apartment, which was, you know, living room, bedroom, the whole deal. And it wasn't in a good neighborhood. There was an empty lot across the street, and there was a burnt-out building next door, and people kept getting broken into, including the guy upstairs who was a male model. And there were all these squatters living in the building next door, and they had chipped through the wall somehow and started living in his apartment while he was... I thought this was the most just gory story. Like, they were all just living in his stuff for 2 months, because he was gone for 2 months. And he ended up coming home and just burning it all, being like, screw it, this smells and is weird. But anyway, so that was happening, and people were getting broken into. And so one night, I'm lying in my bed, and I hear this really loud crash in the middle of my apartment. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, oh my God, someone's broken into my apartment. And so I'm wide awake, and I'm lying in bed, and I'm flipping out, and I'm realizing that in order to get out, the only way out is the front door. And in order to get to the front door, I have to basically traverse the entirety of my apartment, and whoever has broken in has just kicked in the front door and they're right there. And so I turn around and I sort of look, and I know that, like, I'm a sitting duck at this point, so I've got to leave, because if I'm just lying there, then, you know, whatever. And I was like, okay, I've got the element of surprise, but I am scared out of my mind. And I turn and I see his profile in the bathroom window was down the hall. I could see his profile and I could hear him walking around, and I'm just like, all right, here we go. And I, like, leap out of bed and run out the door, and I run over to my neighbors, and I'm banging on her door. I'm like, get up. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and she feels like someone's kicking in her door. So she's now panic stricken in bed. And anyway, so she gets up, and we're freaking out in the hallway, crying. And then, you know, it sinks in. I was like, well, nobody's chasing me, and I didn't bump into anybody in my hallway, and maybe we should go in there and see what's going on. And what had happened was all my suitcases that were piled on top of this thing had fallen into the middle of the room. And that's what had happened. But because my mind had decided that somebody had broken in, I saw his ass. I heard him walking around. And my body suddenly learned how to fly over suitcases on its way out the front door. So when we so strongly believe something, it changes in the physical realm, right? I heard about this great study that this neuroscientist did about, he was working with phantom pain victims. Do you guys know what phantom pain is? It's when if you've lost a limb, a lot of people have this hellish experience where they experience serious pain in the limb that no longer exists. So they get to feel like they're insane because the limb is not there anymore. And there's no way for them to relieve it because the limb doesn't exist. So they can't rub it or massage it or do anything. And they're just walking around in this excruciating pain. So they tried all these different things with drugs and surgery and blah, blah, blah. Nothing was working. So he decided to take a mirror and shine it on them. So let's say somebody was missing their hand and it felt like they were digging their nails into their palm or whatever. And it was really tense. So they would shine a mirror and make it look like the existing arm was where the missing arm was. So the brain was tricked into being like, oh, hey, look, there's my hand. Then they could open up the hand that was in phantom pain and massage it and relieve it. And almost all of his patients were no longer in pain. So this was just a shift in the mind that created a physical reality. So the awesome news, you guys, this is so awesome. And I remember being so excited when I really understood this and so pissed off when I heard this. In order to change your life, all you have to do is change the choices you make about what you're thinking. It really is that simple. And I was like, great, I'm living in a garage at 40 and that's all I had to do? Thanks. But it really is so much about your mind. And I know you've all heard this before, but are you really putting it into practice? It's so, so important. So here's a fun exercise to do. I want everybody to look around the room and count how many people are wearing red. Just look around and sort of look at everybody who's in a red shirt and just take notice of that. I like the one who's standing up. She's not screwing around. She's going to get them all. You get an A. Okay. Got it? So you sort of like counted how many people. Okay, now close your eyes. And I want you to think about how many people are wearing green shirts. Right? You can open your eyes now. And you don't have to count them. But you probably don't have any freaking idea how many people are wearing green shirts because you were looking for red, right? So this is how we go through life. We are taught by our parents and society, but mostly our dear parents who were doing their best. Mom, are you listening? Power positivity. To view things as the truth, to view things as a certain way. We're looking for red shirts in my family. Money's really hard to make in my family. Everybody's overweight in my family because we have a bad metabolism. We suck at relationships in my family. Right? So you don't even realize it. And you have some conscious choices that is going on too, but we've got all these subconscious choices that are driving the bus that are, we're pre-programmed to look for the red shirt. And it isn't until we wake up and be like, you know what? I am so sick of these red shirts. I want to look at something else. And we make that conscious choice to shift what we're looking at. That is the magic moment. When we decide to look for green shirts, even though our entire lives we've been told that green shirts do not exist in this world. You cannot put a man on the moon. That is impossible. Right? You cannot lose weight. That doesn't happen in our family. You cannot have a not, you cannot go out and quit your secure job and go out and make money as a ballerina. That's not going to work. But if it's in your heart and you choose it and you really understand that you've got one go-round on planet Earth as the you that is you, you got one shot, guys. Why are you going to choose to let your circumstances and the red shirt beliefs dictate what you get to do on this Earth? We're on a planet flying through outer space right now. None of this makes any sense, right? So why be clinging to this false security that that these known things bring us. Because that's what gets us trapped, is we feel safe in being just like our friends and whining about the jobs we hate and not dating people who light us up and bring us joy. We stay in the comfort zone. And that really, I know the term comfort zone is so overused, but it's comfortable in a weird, it's comfortable in the way that like sitting on the couch eating a pint of ice cream in your pajamas is comfortable. Super fun. I'm not going to lie. I do it all the time. But it's not comfortable in the long run, right? You feel icky and like a big fat loser and like there's all these fun things going on that you're wasting your life. That's what the comfort zone is. It really is the familiarity zone, and it grows old fast. So in order to change your life, you got to do stuff that is super uncomfortable over and over and over and over and over and over again. And if you leave here with nothing else, I am telling you right now that the best way to change your life is to scare the living crap out of yourself on a regular basis. Because when you are scared, it means you're outside your comfort zone. But what also feels like fear, like when you're doing something that is terrifying, when you're going up to that guy or girl and asking them out that's so out of your league and being like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. But it's something that you're so excited about. And you like, if it came true, you would just be floating on air, right? That terror and the excitement are kind of the same feeling. You almost feel it in the same spot in your body, right? That's called being alive. That's called being a badass. That really is that just that life force pumping through you where you've listened to your intuition and you've listened to your heart and you're allowing yourself to go for the impossible. You know, for me, it was around money. It was about, oh my God, you know, hiring coaches to help me who cost way more than I was comfortable paying them. And you know, putting myself on a plane and going to these money-making seminars and starting my own business and charging lots of money to people to coach them. You know, it's calling myself a coach when, you know, I started out by coaching writers and I'd published a couple of books and I did know what I was doing, but I had a fraud complex bigger than this room. So having the audacity to think that I could actually coach other people on how to write their books, I did it anyway because it was exciting and I knew I could help people. I knew I'd be good at it and I was scared out of my mind. So that's what you're looking for, is that sweet spot between scared out of your mind and psyched out of your mind. That's where we're going. Okay. So this really does happen by shifting your focus and what you're going to focus on. So today, let me just see where we're at time-wise. Okay, so, wow, chatty Kathy. But again, I do want to reiterate that it is mostly, it's about just shifting your focus, okay? So it's about focusing on what you desire as opposed to the truth of what you don't desire. So here's what happens to us a lot. So in the days of the garage, back in the garage, my story was, I suck at making money, I've got debt up the wazoo, I'm 40, I've never made any money, so this is kind of who I am. I actually don't think that I'm of the same species as the people out there who are making money. I actually really believe that. I would see people with like mansions and yachts and be like, I can't even imagine myself in that place, right? Like they felt like a totally different species. And I don't know if you guys have your own version of that, but I really like, you know, if you've always had a weight problem and you see somebody with like tight abs, who's like climbing Mount Everest and flip flops. You know, if you look at that person, like that's just a different species than I am. We're all human. If you desire it, it is yours. If you desire it, it is yours. You would not have been given the desire if you weren't meant to do it. That's the most important part. Not what you see around you, not what your parents have told you, not what your friends are doing. If you desire it, it's meant to be. Because guess what? Not everybody has the same desires as you. And I don't care how many other people are out there writing the book you want to write or how many people have started the business you want to start or whatever. You doing it your way is all that matters. You are being called to do it for a reason and you are meant to do it. So everything you need to do it is around you right now. It just really depends where the hell you place your focus. So if you are so busy focusing like I was on my debt and I can't afford it and I'm broke and I suck at this, I will create a foundation of truth to prove all of these facts. Because human beings love to be right. I needed to be right that I sucked at making money, that the economy sucked and you can't make money as a writer. So I built up this whole foundation around myself to prove that I was right. And I got to live for 40 years with that truth and be right. And it was awesome. Until it wasn't awesome. And I had to shift my focus and be like, all right, I don't like this one, so I'm going to start looking for those green shirts. Like, okay, so have I ever made money? I've made money, so I can make money. Am I in debt? Yes, I'm in debt. And does it suck? Well, is there a way that I can maybe make it not suck? Maybe my debt shows me that money was there when I needed it, and if it was there when I needed it once, it could be there again. And also, maybe my debt is going to freak me out so much it's going to get me off my ass to do what it takes to make the changes I need to make. Maybe that's the positive thing about debt. So I started looking to the proof of otherwise than what I saw in front of me. And that is when, just like seeing the guy in my apartment, that is when I started seeing proof of that thing happening. And it opened me up to opportunities that had been there all along that I wasn't seeing because I was so busy proving this one. So that's why the shifting of your focus is epic. The other thing it did was it raised my frequency. So when I'm broke and can't afford it and buried alive under debt, I'm dragging around that corpse, right? That 10-ton corpse. When I'm like, my debt is my friend. Money flows to me easily and freely. I've made money before, I can make it again. That's Neil Young versus AC/DC. And that energy and that belief and that hope is what you have, because if you don't have that energy, when it gets scary, it's not an if, it's when the scary thing presents itself that is going to catapult you to the next level, you have to have that energy to kick some serious ass, because if you don't have that energy and you're clinging to the old foundation, you won't even notice you had a great idea. You won't even notice that the perfect opportunity is standing right in front of you because you are so busy proving this thing. So that's what it does. It literally opens you up to everything that's all around you right now. Everything you desire is already here. Everything you desire is already here. The guy you want to meet, the job you want, the clients you're looking for, the brilliant idea for a song. It's already here. It's up to us to shift our focus and allow it in. Okay? I think that's such a cool concept, but it really truly is. The green shirts are here. You're just not looking in the right place. This is what we mean by getting out of our own way. Get out of your own way. It's all here waiting for you to knock it off, proving this thing. Okay? So now we're going to fly through this exercise. So I want you all to think of an area of your life that's sagging. What part of your life is sagging a little? I could really use some more money. I could really date someone who actually likes me. Lose that 20 pounds finally. Quit my stinking job. Okay, so think about just one thing. I'm sure we all have multiple things, but what would be one thing that would really make a difference that you'd really be excited to work on today? Okay, so everybody got their thing? Okay. So now you can either turn to the person next to you, say it out loud, or if you don't want to share, that's fine. But I'm just going to give everybody like 30 seconds each to turn to this person and explain to them what's going on with them. Like, I would love to make more money. I'm working for minimum wage. I've never had a job. I've never made more than 30 grand a year. Like, just explain to them what's going on. And the person listening, I want you to get very, really hold the specifics of what they're saying for them, because we're going to help them notice it in themselves. Okay. So, and the other thing is, if you have a pen and paper, so what you're going to do is you're going to tell the person the things, and then they're going to say back to you, okay, I'll give you a minute each, actually. Say to the person what it is, and then that person is going to tell you the specifics back, and you're going to write them down. If you don't have a paper and pen, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal, but if you can write it down, that's going to help a lot. So specifics is what we're going for, people, okay? So 1 minute this direction, and then the other person's going to tell you, and you're going to write them down. And I'm timing this. Okay, start wrapping it up. You got 30 seconds left to get your specifics. 30 seconds. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Okay, wrap it up. Oh my God, you guys are so good. That was like, okay, other direction. Okay, you're halfway through. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, and finish. You guys totally get an A+ in time management. Okay. Whoops. Okay. So here's the thing. These specifics are critical because what happens to us a lot is we get overwhelmed in the vagueness. Specifics will set you free. So here is what I'm talking about. Overwhelm. Okay, overwhelm is like one of the biggest dream crushers we've got going on, right? Like, how many in this room feel overwhelmed? Okay, it's a biggie. It's a good sign because it means you got a lot going on, right? You're not bored, you're not sitting around, whatever. But overwhelm is a mindset. Sometimes we really do bite off more than we can chew, but I've been a coach for over 10 years and I got to be honest, and myself too. I mean, trust me, I'm still on the path. But when we get caught up in overwhelm, it's because we've forgotten to pay attention to the specifics. So when we get in overwhelm, I'm so busy. I've got so much to do. I've got to answer 45 emails and take my kids to school and write this proposal for work and blah, you know, and then just the list goes on. And then, you know, before you know it, you've opened a bottle of wine and that's the end of the day. That's usually where overwhelm leads us. When you get into specifics, you can actually get rid of the overwhelm. So it's like, okay, I've got 45 emails to answer. How long will that actually take me? Maybe it'll take me 10, 15 minutes, really? Right? Maybe I could get my neighbor to carpool and she could pick up the kids and I don't have to do that today, maybe. Maybe this project I have to work for work, if I just chunk it down into 30 minutes where I don't get up from the computer and I just work my ass off for 30 minutes and then I get to take a break and have a snack, I could probably get that done. It's when we just become victims to the overwhelmingness of it all that we drop the ball. And when we get really specific and break it down, we set ourselves free. Okay, so same thing when we have sort of the general like, my life sucks. My boyfriend's an idiot. I'm broke, right? That's just this over. What does that even mean? I want to make more money. What does that mean? I want to make more money. And especially with money, it's like money is all about specifics. Money is numbers. And so rarely do we sit down and think, well, what do I want the money for? I'd really like to go to Tuscany with my whole family. And I would like to stay in that hotel and it costs this much. And this is how much a plane tickets cost. And this is when I'm going to go. And this is the amount of food I want to eat, and this is what it costs. So now I have a price tag, and now I'm going to bust my ass and make it happen, and it's going to be awesome. But you cannot make it happen if you don't know what it is. So specifics are key. So this whole thing with changing your life, whatever it was that you chose, Now that you have the specifics of your story around it, you can change them, okay? So the first thing is awareness, and awareness as it pertains to the specifics of what you got going on with your story. That's the first key. The second key is to now shift your focus away from those specifics. So, like I showed you with my debt, instead of being like, I'm being buried alive under my debt, I'm gonna die, I looked for ways in which I could make it a positive thing. And I also really want to stress, you guys, I am not a believer in like, always think positive thoughts. Everything's wonderful. We are emotional creatures and bad shit happens. So it's not about denying yourself the emotions that you feel. I mean, if you deny emotions, you grow tumors and things. That's not what, it's not about being in denial and pushing things away. It's about expressing your feelings but not identifying with them. So I was really sad and freaked out about being broke, and I was identifying as a broke, sad, freaked out person. I was allowed to be sad and freaked out, but like, okay, great, sad and freaked out, now I'm ready to change my shit up, right? So it's about not hanging out there, because that's what happens. We're comfortable in that space. It's about facing the unknown and shifting it up, okay? So feel your emotions, because I had a friend who's like, oh great, now I, on top of all of the losery things I feel about myself, now I feel like a big loser because I'm not positive. It's like, don't do that to yourself. Okay, so now you have the specifics of what it is that you're going to change. And so now come up with some specifics of how you could rework it in the way, like, pick two or three things that you can specifically focus on instead of the negative things you just told your neighbor. Does that make sense? Okay, just two or three. And if you need help from the person that you were working with, again, like, just come up. I'm going to give you guys 1 minute just to be like, oh, maybe this is positive because. This is positive because. Okay, does that make sense? No, everybody? Okay, give that a shot. And help each other out if you need to. I'm going to give you 1 minute. All righty, wrap it up. Does everybody feel like they got another little shifty poo on their specifics? You were doing so well the first time around. What happened to those guys? Okay, everybody, stop. We're actually going to go deeper into this. So please, let's move on. Okay? Seems like this was a bit more challenging. Okay, so now you've become aware of the specifics of your story. You have shifted your focus to look at it a new way, okay? And when you're looking at it in the new way, pull up the gratitude thing. You know, we always hear about gratitude. The reason gratitude is such a badass is because gratitude is an emotion. And again, we are emotional creatures. We are inspired by an emotion. We are not inspired by up here. I mean, how many times have you done something that you knew was a really bad idea, but it was going to be so fun, so you did it anyway, right? Millions of stories about that one. So that's why you want to now take this new focus that you've got of the positive stuff, even if it's bananas in outer space because you've never done anything like this before, especially if it is actually not only shifting your focus and looking for proof of it, but being grateful that not only does it exist, but it exists for you. That gives you the emotion and gets you caught up in that fever. Because you is going to need the fever, right, to push through that scary thing. So awareness on the specifics, shifting your focus. And now I would like everybody to come up with a mantra based on this new thing. And somebody laughed because it's so woo-woo, right? Right? Is it? I'm fine. I know, but believe me, I was the Snarkosaurus Rex when it came to anything like this. It really is highly hilarious that I'm standing up here right now. Okay. So the beautiful thing about a mantra is, so this is all emotion. We've shifted our focus, but words are like a whittle knife that we take thoughts and whittle them into our reality. When we say we're caught in a rut, it's because our words and our actions and our beliefs and thoughts, but it really, words are sort of how we sort of put a stamp in the physical realm for ourselves. It takes our thoughts and stamps them into the physical realm. And we don't even realize often, that's why I really want you to work with somebody else, because we don't even realize what flies out of our mouths half the times, right? when you really start paying attention to your words. And one of the best ways to start paying attention to your words is to listen to what the people you hang out with say. Because trust me, we hang out with people who like to talk about the same stuff we do, right? And who like to complain about the same stuff we do, and who like to celebrate the same stuff we do. But we're pretty samesies. So that's why, again, when you start to change who you're being, you really do have to change up who you're hanging out with, because you're used to talking and being a certain way with other people. And it manifests in the words that we use about our realities. Reality always is in quotes, by the way. I'm not going to keep doing that. Okay, so now here comes the mantra. So I'm going to give you an example from my life. So with the debt thing, right, I went from I'm dying under this debt, I love my debt, it proves all these wonderful things. So how can I harness that excitement? So your mantra has to have an energy behind it, even if it seems completely ridiculous, which it really will, because it hasn't happened to you yet, and it's going to be, I don't know, so I'll just tell you mine. So my old mantra was, I can't afford it. I don't care what we were talking about. That phrase would come out of my mouth within the first 5 minutes. I can't afford it. Sounds fun. Can't afford it. And I said it probably 100 times a day without even realizing it, because it was the truth. It was the reality. I couldn't afford it. So when I busted myself on that, I was like, okay, what could I say that would, you know, move my thoughts and my focus? So I started saying, money flows to me easily and freely. Every time I wanted to say I can't afford it, I would catch myself, money flows to me easily and freely. Okay? It wasn't at that point. But the point was, I was focusing on how money flowed to me easily and freely, which made me feel a hell of a lot better than I can't afford it. And so then I started looking for proof of how money does flow to me easily and freely, because there were some ways that it was. And so I just kept looking at that proof, and then I would open myself up to opportunities that would help me find the ways to get money to flow to me easily and freely. So I became available, and I became grateful that money could flow to me easily and freely, and was going to, and actually was in some ways that I hadn't paid attention to before. And I became so grateful, and what you appreciate appreciates, right? So this is the thing that's so funny. It's like, you know, the power of positive thought. There's great power in negative thought too. I heard a great thing that, like, worrying is praying for what you don't want. So every moment of every single day, you have a choice. Every moment, you have a choice as to where you're going to place your focus. And this, I don't know if I can articulate this in a way that is going to make you just explode with aha-ness, but man, I remember the day that I really understood that every moment you get to start over. Every moment you can just choose who you're going to be, and you're going to choose what your reality is, and you're going to choose what you're going to go out and do. Every single moment, you do not have to participate in all this crap back here anymore. You get to choose right now. Okay? So that's what this new mantra is about. It's about choosing right now to specifically change your words around what you're doing. Have you ever heard that thing that Mother Teresa said, how she'd never go to an anti-war rally, but she'd go to a peace rally? Right? We don't want to focus on the war part. We're focusing on the peace. And that lady saw some hairball stuff. Right? And she was in the front lines, right? But you can't be of service to anybody if you're focusing on the negative. She had plenty of negative to focus on, but she was focusing on the positive so that she had the energy. She wasn't denying the negative. I'm sure she wept herself to sleep many a night, but she wasn't identifying with it, and she wasn't letting it win. So it's about you choosing what wins. So come up with a mantra that gives you some sort of hell yeah. Okay, so some, and you can do this with your partner if you want to, and they can help you with it. But the most important thing is that it speaks directly to the specifics of what you came up with before, and that it fills you with whatever that is. Okay? All right, so let's do 2 minutes. Everybody gets 1 minute to come up with their mantra. All right. Okay, guys. Awesome, 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 awesome work. All right. Does everybody feel like they got a pretty good one? You're good? Okay. Write this mantra on your forehead. Write it on post-it notes around your house. Wake up in the morning saying it. Every time you're stuck in traffic, say it. I want you to walk around like a crazy little freak. saying this thing over and over. And the most important part is to feel it. And wherever you feel it in your body, put your hand there. Tony Robbins has this thing where before he goes on stage, he's like, I am going to help people change their lives. And he beats the crap out of himself before he goes out there because it anchors it into your body. It puts it into your fiber. This is about feeling it and being it and becoming Mighty Mouse about it. Okay, so anchor it into your body, feel it in your bones, and just keep saying it over and 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 over. Okay, and if it should lose its pizzazz for you, then rewrite it. Because what happens is it starts to sink in, and then we get it, and then we're like, oh, whatever. You know, time for a new one. How can you expand it? How can you make it even bigger and better? Okay, mantras are so cool, you guys. And believe me, I promise you, I wouldn't ask you to do it if it didn't work, because I don't take the lightness of what it is to get busted saying a mantra. Okay, and now this is my favorite one. The fourth thing, right now, I want you to think of something that you could do today that scares the living shit out of you, that would get you towards your goal. Ask for that raise, double your prices, approach that person for a loan. Okay? I want you to really think of a humdinger. Okay? If you don't feel like you're going to throw up, it's not good enough. Okay? You got it? I mean, scary that you've never done before. Did you come up with something? I mean it, you guys. This is the critical moment. This is the critical moment. And I have to shut up soon because I really want to do a Q&A. But, okay, so does everybody have their thing? Their scary thing? I want you to do this by end of day tomorrow. Okay? And normally I would give you till end of day today, but you guys are here end of day tomorrow. Okay, you guys. Okay, you guys, please stop talking, okay? I want you to repeat after me. Because I am a badass, I am doing this by end of day tomorrow. Awesome! Okay, we're going to get to the Q&A now, but another thing that I don't have time to really go into is about your intuition. And as women, we have it in spades. We were burned at the stake for it because it's so powerful and freaks the dudes out. But it is by far the most powerful thing we've got going because our minds are generally caught up with all of the belief systems that we've been, you know, pressed upon us from society and growing up and da-da-da. And our brains are great. I don't want to trash the brain. But our intuition is the mother load. And so when it comes time to pick these scary things and when it comes time to really, like, figure out if you're on the right track, if you can get quiet, just get quiet and listen to it. And sometimes ask your intuition a question like, hey, intuition, how should I scare the crap out of myself today? What's going to get me closer to my goal? When you get that intuitive hit and it's terrifying, you have got to look right towards it and be like, all right, how am I going to make this happen? As opposed to piling up all the reasons why it won't work. That's what we're trained to do. Pile up the reasons why it won't, because then we stay in our comfort zone and we don't risk being abandoned and made fun of and failing. Look towards the fear. Make fear your pal. And you will find your intuition will have no lack of ideas on scary crap that you could go and do. Trust me. And you'll know it's right when you're scared out of your mind. Okay, you guys, thank you so much. You are such a fun crowd. And I can't wait to hear what you got to ask me. Okay, we've got about 7 minutes left for your questions. Sorry. So there are microphones. So why don't we start with you?
So mine is more of a big aha that you said.
Okay.
And it ties into the scary thing, because my scary thing is actually a really, like, from the outside, it looks like something I should hang on to.
Okay.
Definitely. But you said you have to make yourself available to the thing.
Uh-huh.
And if you're doing something over here and something else wants to come to you, you can't make yourself.
You're blocking it.
You have to make yourself
getting
available.
In your own way.
So that was a really big aha for me.
Like, awesome. Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
Awesome. Yes.
Hi. So I'm Mickey Feldman-Simon. I founded a company called I'm Back at Work with the idea to help all women return to the workforce.
Please move a teeny bit closer. Thank you.
Okay. Did you hear me or should I repeat?
I heard you.
Okay. Yep. So my question to you, for women who are trying to return to the workforce, what specific advice would you give to them?
Returning, like, so they've left and then had kids. Don't buy into the hype that you're too old, that you can't, that you're a bad mother, that you're, you know, focus on the things that excite you about returning to the workforce. Focus on the things that you have to offer. Focus on why it's so important that you get out there and work, because you've got a message to share with the world, and get into the specifics about it.
Thank you.
Sure.
So I loved your talk. Thank Everything you. Resonates with me, and I believe. I have someone I love deeply who is just found out they have cancer and they're in a stage 4, and their mindset is in such deep depression that all of my energy pulls towards pulling them out of it. Mm. And so my question to you is, how can we help a loved one pull themselves out of?
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm very sorry to hear this, first of all. And just, you know, cancer's horrifying. Negative beliefs and depression are a kind of cancer that feeds on us and keeps us and kills off our life force, right? But you can't change their thinking. You cannot. Believe me, I have tried to tell people how to think and how to believe and how to feel. You can only change yourself, and you can go in there and be the sun and love them and be there for them, but you kind of can't really change how they feel. And quite frankly, if we keep hammering at somebody who's not willing to shift, you become a nag. So they're not changing and you're annoying. Lose, lose. You know, but really get in there, and you can give them books, but it's not your job. That's their journey. And I understand where it's coming from, and it's a beautiful thing, but you just keep showing up as the sun.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hi, thank you so much for your amazing content. One of the things that I've been trying to work through, I've listened to your book and I've worked with other mindset things. I know I have a fairly positive mindset compared to the average person, which is awesome. The only thing is, I find that and people tell me, like, well, you're a millennial, like, that's just like how it is, and you just want more and more right now. But I'm just like, I can do everything now, though. Anyways, but I keep getting told that there's so many things I need to do at once, and I feel like I don't have enough time. But then I remind myself, I'm like, I've discovered the things I'd love to do, like speaking, and I've been able to move faster in it than expected. But how do you work through it of really helping yourself believe that you really can do it all? You don't have to wait a little bit now or try to rush before you have your first kid or whatever and all that stuff. I guess I'm trying to work through, like, I keep telling myself that, like, I really can have it all. I can do it all at once.
Good for you.
But it's not completely clicked.
Well, so here's the thing, and I don't know if this is your question, so stop me if I'm answering the wrong question. Having it all at once is a little tricky, because when you set your sights on something like starting a business or starting a family or whatever, you kind of need to focus. Because, you know, a plane uses 70% of its fuel to get off the ground, right? And then you have the momentum and you're flying. So in those beginning stages, you kind of do need to focus, because if you fragment, you're going to have a lot of half-baked shit going on, and because it takes some oomph to get stuff rolling. So is that sort of what you're asking?
A little bit. It's funny, because I recently got married and I've been speaking around the country, and I'm trying to oomph that up even more, but then people look like, oh, well, when you're pregnant, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. I'm like,
oh, come on. Please. Okay, so if that's what it's about, you already know the drill.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to focus on that. You're going to focus on all the awesome pregnant women who are up there speaking with a baby on each hip, and how inspiring is that?
Yeah.
Right? Come on. You go show them how it's
totally.
Done.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited for you. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Actually, my question is about, like, there are sometimes when we just bury ourselves and our intuition, because we just want to, like, you know, don't let ourselves be. And then after many, many years, we want to, like, start listening to ourselves, but we just don't know how. Do you know any kind of, like, ideas to how?
So how do you get in touch with your intuition?
Yes.
Meditation. Really? And so meditation is this weird thing where it literally is just sitting down and shutting up, but it seems to be this big mystery. And there are guided meditations you can do and meditation centers. And even if you just do it for 3 minutes a day, just start small and start building that muscle, okay? And also just, you know, go to the spiritual gym, read the self-help books, surround yourself with people who are really good at intuition. Decide you're going to do it and then hone that muscle, okay?
All right.
Put in the time. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have time for one more. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for coming. We both read your book last month. Yeah. It was really inspiring.
What's your question?
I thought you had a question.
Okay.
Okay. My question is that, like, I know that a lot of people, like, they have a lot of goals they set for themselves, like an overwhelming amount, like how they want to, like, basically fix their entire life. So my question is kind of like, how do you focus on specifically improving, like, one section or like one part of yourself when you have so many things like you want to improve? It's like,
right,
kind of overwhelming. Yeah.
Okay. So how do you focus on the one thing you want to change when you've got a million things you want to change?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You understand that you get to do it later. I think we get into a panic about, like, if I don't do it now, it's going to go away and I'm going to miss out. Right. Like that. What is it? What is it you guys call it? FOMO?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hip. So yeah. That, well, FOMO will be missing out on everything because, as I just said, like, you've got to focus on it if you're going to make it happen. So pick one, but know in the back of your mind that you get to do the other ones too. And especially if it's career-oriented or whatever, you'll get to do them with more relaxation because you've already got something rolling that really needed to be taken care of. And then you can focus on the other things and really knock them out of the park. But one at a time is really important. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for coming. I really appreciate it. This was such a blast. You were awesome.